and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How are you? Hello, people who are mourning the passing of this show, like myself and many other people. We got some cookies yesterday with pictures on them, Riley. Yeah, you saw them. They had little pictures on them from Lori. You know, a.k.a. Citizen Khan from the blog sent us some of those. It had our logo on it, but instead of morning, it said M-O-U-R, morning, and it was done in that interesting sort of silkscreen on cookies thing, the kind of cookies you're like, do I eat this or frame it? And Lucy, our booker, was like, I'm going to eat it. She loves those kind of cookies, and I had to taste one. But it's one of those things that looks so interesting and weird that they can put pictures on cookies. Again, I'm sounding like that old guy. They put the picture right on the cookie. But it was very nice. And also our friends, the baker down in Hawaii, Tracy. Did you see that big, smelly, beautiful tropical bouquet in our office there, Riley?
No.
Yeah, come on. It was right by the TV. You couldn't miss it. It looks like it's got pineapples in it. This is a... one of these gorgeous, lush, tropical potted plants. It's got birds of paradise. It's got those flowers that look like they eat living things. Just beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Got a great aroma to it. Very nice. Thank you so much, Tracy, and thank you for the baked goods and the nice emails, and thank you for being in Hawaii, because it makes me think about Hawaii. Someday I'd like to be in Hawaii. I think I can grow my hair out and keep going with this beard and end up in Hawaii. Also, Kristen, who I didn't meet, but you met, apparently came up to the old studio not long ago with a bunch of donuts.
Oh, yeah. I remember her, sure.
I had my day off, or I was off for the week or whatever. Well, she did a painting, Riley.
She
sent a painting of the door to the old studio. Okay,
wow.
It's very interesting. It's not abstract. It's got the little note that was on the door of the old studio, and it's on the air sign. And it's very beautiful.
I got to see all these things. Where was I during all of this?
It was right behind you while you were plugged into your iPod, my friend.
Well, I was reading.
All right. But they were both sitting right there. It's weird at this hour in the morning. You go like, where am I going? Computer. Okay, keys. Here I go. I'm typing now. So that. But thank you for all the great stuff. My mother even called yesterday and said that the show has sounded great for the past 3 weeks. Completely unsolicited. She was like, that's just great. And these are the kind of emails we're getting. It's just unbelievable. We got a guy here that says, he was a conservative. These kind of things just blow me away. Morning's Edition has meant so much to me, being a conservative all my life, listening to Rush Limbaugh. Excuse me.
Can't say the word limbo without coughing.
Yeah, how professional am I? I know there's a button that stops that here. Ready?
There you go.
I think that's the first time I ever used that damn thing. Morning Sedition has meant so much to me, being a conservative all my life, listening to Rush Limbaugh as early as junior high school. You get a certain slant from your media. I became convinced that CNN, Time Magazine, and the New York Times are just liberal outlets. All liberals want is to kill babies, tax you, and spend money burying votes with welfare checks. Buying votes with welfare checks. They tell you who liberals are and who you can be inclined, and you can be inclined to believe them. My mom was a Republican committee woman, and I grew up in Southwest Missouri, Republican by association, conservative in my own right. But then he goes on to say that the turning point was in Iraq, was the Iraq War. I once heard, let me get down to the bottom of this. This is where it gets interesting. I think that if you are any age and you make a real effort in your life to understand the world we live in and are still a Republican, well, you are worse than heartless or brainless. You simply think that you are privileged. Your privileged way of life is more important than anything else, including the lives of thousands of people, along with the health and well-being of the planet and environment. Sincerely, Cole, in Missouri. P.S. Thanks to Mark and Mark, John Larson, Crimmings, Brendan, Dan, Kalo, any others who contributed to the opus that was Morning Sedition. Brendan, may you live in the land of plentiful toilet tissue once again. Riley, may you find dry white turkey and cranberry sauce for every Thanksgiving from now on.
Thank you.
May Kalo find the best deals at Costco, but do not allow Costco prostitute him into a bargain hunting whore. And to Mark, may you know in his heart that he is the funniest intellectual comic before and after Dennis Miller. And then he says some bad things about the executives. but he says, good luck hope to hear you good luck in L.A., buddy. Hope to hear you on satellite. So there you go. That's very nice when you actually hear from a guy who you helped change, Riley. changed the man.
Changed the man from a conservative to a progressive.
Yeah, and then you get these people like, I don't know. You know, I guess I'm just kind of felling, as they say, about our show and the work we've done here. A woman who says, I've listened to Morning's Edition from the beginning, and I'm still in shock that it will be ending on Friday. The combination of you and Mark Riley has been perfect, each with your own personalities and strengths. My 15-year-old son has also been forced to listen to you guys on our 25-minute drive to school in the morning, but it only took him a couple of days to not mind switching over from hip-hop to you. He got it, he learned some things, and we laughed a lot. Hmm. How do you like that? Laughing and learning. What do you say about that? Also a Kosovo. Hey, Chris, also a Kosovo to you. How's it going with the flu, my friend?
I'm feeling much better, thank you.
Oh, thank God for that. Crimmings, are you sick?
No.
And you got rest because you didn't have to do the overnight shift?
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, last night was a good night's sleep.
Oh, thank God for that. I didn't sleep so well. I went out to dinner with our old CEO, Doug Krieger, and I stuffed myself with some vegetarian Indian food, and we talked about stuff, talked about the network, talked about this and that, wishing me luck on my trip or whatever my life brings me. It was kind of sad. And then I went home with this wad of Indian food in my stomach, which is impossible to sleep on. And my cat kept me up all night. The cat is going into the box. I'm sitting in an empty apartment right now with plenty of cookies. Thank you. So let's talk about this for a second, if we could. I think it's important that the people know, first off, this isn't that important, but Kevin Pollak will be here later. He's a funny guy.
Why isn't that important?
Well, it's important. Well, I mean, it's not as important as knowing that the federal air marshals might be walking among us on buses, ferries, and Amtrak trains, undercover and overcover, with guns ready to shoot anybody anywhere. You just have to be not only afraid of terrorists, but the possibility, if you're acting too kooky or had a couple of cocktails, that you might catch a bullet in the temple from an air marshal.
Well, now are they going to be called train marshals?
Yeah.
What is this?
You know, and I'm being a little hard on them, but they did shoot a guy for being acting erratically. But also, what about being?
And this
safe?
Is their bone. This is their payoff.
Yeah. Right.
Now they get to go on the train.
Now they get to be on the bus. So along with, here's what they're called. They're called Visible Intermodal Protection and Response Teams, or VIPR teams. They will consist of two air marshals, one TSA bomb-sniffing canine team, and one or two transportation security inspectors. Now, I guess this is sort of happening and coinciding with the holiday season. I don't know how long it's going to stay in place, but already some cities that were planned to have these VIPR teams are like, one city.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
What, us?
They didn't say the name of the city, but they're like, what, they're going to do that here? I'm not sure we're ready for that.
And by the way, they can't do it here in New York necessarily because we may not have any trains.
Right. That's right. Is that going to happen?
I don't know, but it's the deadline's tonight.
This is a train strike,
a transit strike, and there'd be no trains for the marshals to be on and shoot anybody on.
And no buses or trains.
I took
a bus yesterday. I had a good time.
Really?
Yeah, it's very nice. Go and hop on the city bus with your Metro card and go uptown. It's just really quick.
Brings people together, doesn't it?
Well, it's weird how spoiled we get. It does bring people together, that's for sure. It's weird how spoiled we get when you have a couple bucks in your pocket. You're like, hell, I'll just hop in a cab. And I couldn't get one. And then there was that moment where you're like, wait a minute, I can take the bus. And I got on the bus with tons of people and rubbed up right against this guy who smelled bad. That's the weird thing about buses and public transportation is how intimate you get to smell people in this city.
Well, yeah, and by the way, the buses, the long ones, those are great because if you get in the middle of them, suddenly you can be thrown out the door. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yay!
Goes around the corner, you go flying.
It's going to be a party. All right, so let's try to have it. It's our second to the last show. I know a lot of people are upset. You know, Kalo's crying. Don't cry, man. All right, why don't you save it till tomorrow? Save the tears for tomorrow.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I know, but you're just welling up. You're making me sad, all right, buddy? So pull it together, you sick bastard. I got to go on.
I need some change.
I keep throwing money at Chris. I don't know why. This weird thing we did. Like, one day he was walking down the hall. I had all these pennies in my pocket, and I just threw them down the hall. And now I can't stop myself from throwing change at him. It's not even supposed to be an insult. It's just surprising.
It's fine because Dan Pashman runs and picks it up.
All right, let's pick it up, folks. In a second, we'll talk about, we got some classic stuff. Are we going to play that Al-Qaeda news again today? That was hilarious. 15 past, good morning. It's Morning's Edition.
Hi, this is Cindy Sheehan. Whether I'm waking up in Crawford, Texas, Washington, D.C., or Vacaville, California, I wake up with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
20 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Morning Tradition on Air America. The final two episodes, my friends. We'll have the iNews in just a few minutes, and we're also going to hear the Al-Qaeda news. But, you know, people have been requesting Jim Earle, our resident genius, our resident comedy genius, one of many, by the way. Let me tell you something. The comedic talent at this particular show, on this particular network, really, bar none, awesome. Guys who really are adventurous take real chances. Jim Earle has been, his bits have been requested, because we did shoot a sort of outreach out there to request bits. And we played a couple of Jim Earle's. And today, later today, we're going to have the final appearance of Sammy the Stem Cell, which should be, should be good. But here's a couple that people continued to request, even after we played them once.
And now, another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Mark.
What?
The information in these files will enable the government to ruthlessly study and select our children for sleazy exploitation faster than a micro camera hidden in one of Michael Jackson's llamas. Soon, heartless recruiters will be roaming our neighborhoods like salesmen, searching for victims, and armed with so much sensitive personal information, it'll make the Scientologists look like Amway.
Recruiters? Door-to-door recruiters?
That's right, Mark. Ever meet a fella by the name of Rumsfeld?
What's the fella's line?
Never worries about his line.
Never worries about his line?
Or a doggone thing. He's just a bang beat, bell-ringing, big hall, great go, neck-or-nothing, rip-roaring every time a bullseye salesman. That's Secretary Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld. He's an army man.
He's a what? He's a what?
And he sells war to the kids in town with the big brass bombs and the rat-a-tat guns and the piccolo with uniforms too, with the shiny gold braid on the coat with a big red stripe running down.
But he doesn't know the territory.
Or doggone thing. It's a bang, beat, bell, ringing, big haul, great go, neck or nothing, rip roaring every time a bullseye salesman. That's Secretary Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld. He's an army man.
He doesn't know the territory.
You can talk, you can talk, you can bicker, you can talk, you can bicker, 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 you can talk, 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 bicker, 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 you can talk all you
All right, Mort, I'm through with this now.
Look, what do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? You can talk. You can bicker. You can talk. You can talk.
Mort, shut up. Shut up. Just shut up already.
Mark, Rummy's failed attempt at running a war doesn't give him the right to decimate the next generation of bad poets and philosophy majors any more than your failed career in musical theater gives you the right to yell at me for being a sensitive artist. Remember that the next time Marky Jr. comes back from the home ec class and tells you you hate his freedom. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Wow. That was very good.
Yeah, did yourself today.
Shipoopy, yeah, shipoopy, the girl who's hard to get. I haven't slept.
It's something like, you haven't slept. What were you up doing?
Writing this crap. Searching all over the internet for the Music Man. What do you think I'm doing? James Griffin, co-founder of the band Bread.
Oh.
This week, the music world received word that James Griffin, founding member of the soft rock group Bread, is toast. In a statement released today to hopeful fans, Griffin's manager said there was no truth to the rumor he's risen. But I guess that news is pretty stale by now.
Oh, no.
Oh, got something in my eyes. Who's chopping onions? Never one to loaf. Griffin helped form Bread in 1968. And after they released the hits Make It With You and Baby I'ma Want You, Bread was on a roll. Any way you sliced it, Bread was hot. There's a cop button over there. Bread made a lot of dough.
Oh, no.
Oh, is there a cat in here? Griffin had been in good health until last week when doctors labeled his condition as crummy.
Oh, no.
When loved ones discovered his body, witnesses say the former lead singer of Bread was crusty.
Oh, no.
Completely riddled with fungus.
Oh, man.
Nothing could be saved. Not even the heels.
Oh.
You bring a ficus plant here?
No, man.
And Mark, I'm real sensitive about the pollen stuff. One more paragraph.
Okay, buddy.
Griffin requested his body be interned at the family cemetery, sandwiched in between two graves. Evergreens, flowering plants, are very sensitive. A lot of suspended particulates in the air this season, right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know. It's winter, man.
Yeah.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
That was two manifestations of Jim Earl, the Mort Mortensen death correspondent, and that before that was it War on Brains, Mort Milfington, and the War on Brains. Yeah, Jim Earl going out to L.A. with me. Hey, also a costume. Mark Riley.
Asala Kaslam to you, too.
Thank you very much. Noam is listening on his phone in Long Island, apparently on a bus to Washington, D.C. Is that true, Noam?
Yes, it is.
You just what? You listening to the show?
Yeah, I am.
And where are you headed, man?
We're going to D.C., and I'm leaving services already. I listen to the show every day. I'm, obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I'm so sad that it's ending.
Yeah.
And my brother here.
What grade are you in, man?
I'm in ninth.
Oh, wow, ninth grade. There's so much to look forward to, much exciting things, so much disappointment and uncomfortableness. Good for you, man.
Yeah, no problem. I was you get the poop jokes and you get the good politics, and that's all you need.
There you go. Poop jokes, man. And good politics.
That's right. You take it from a guy that knows. Thanks, Noam. Thanks for listening. That's
fun.
Okay, take it easy.
Take care, man.
That was the greatest commercial for our show ever. You get the poop jokes and you get the politics.
Good politics, yeah. Oh, man, ninth grade, Riley. God, can you remember it?
Yeah, I was in military school.
Oh, you poor guy.
Yeah, it was my fault.
I'm trying to think where I was. I would think I was transferring back. I'd been kicked out of a private school.
Was that when you had the woman's boobs in your hands and you got kicked out?
Yeah, that was
out?
Right around... right when
some interesting stuff your freshman year.
Oh, it was, some guy busted me. It was a field trip, and I got caught in the kitchen, or not in the kitchen, in a hotel room bathroom with Patty Ryan's boobs in my hands, and I was sent home from White Sands, New Mexico, and my grandma was in town, and she picked me up at the bus station with my mother, and they had to ask me what I did, and I said I got caught with Patty Ryan's boobs in my hand. I wonder if Patty Ryan's listening. I wonder what happened to her. 27 past the hour, Al-Qaeda news coming up.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Morning.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. This is the last, tomorrow's the last show, folks. I'm going through the emails. Man, international emails, my friends. I'm listening to you, and I read other people's letters about how much they love your show, and I can't believe that is ending. I just wanted to write and let you know I feel the same way. I live in Bogota, Colombia.
Bogota?
Yeah, but I'm from Vancouver, Canada. Good luck, and thanks for the mornings. That's from Matthew. And then dig this, man. Dear guys, cannot tell you how depressing it is for me that your show is ending. I've listened to you from the beginning as an expat in Denmark, and you've moved with me to Belgium. You guys are funny and sharp, and your mix of humor and information have helped me keep some sanity over here. That's very nice. That's from Carmen in Belgium, I guess, now. I love the fact that we go out all over the world. It's very cool to me. Not a lot of information today. We'll get some information. These last couple of days are obviously going to be incredibly indulgent and funny and looks back. But I do have some information about the Christo Fascist Zombie Brigade that is very telling and very disturbing. I'll get that to you in just a second. But it looks like on the phone is that fellow whose email I just read a few minutes ago, who was brought up a Republican and has since become a liberal. And I think he's got an interesting question. Cole in Missouri, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
How you guys all doing?
We're good, man. Good. Are you the guy that wrote the email?
Yeah, that's me. You know me. I've been. This is my year anniversary was about last Thanksgiving when Mark was talking about the dry white turkey.
That's right.
The first time, a little before that. Ever since then, I've been hooked, man. It's been a great show. It's been a great run.
I remember you called back to support him in his dry white turkiness.
Thank you.
Isn't that right?
And I want you to know, Cole.
Of course, I mean, you got to stand by your own. You know, I mean, if the turkey's going to be dry, if they give you lemons, you got to make lemonade.
There you go, Cole. I want you to know, this past Thanksgiving, I did in fact have dry white turkey.
I'm very happy for you. I didn't have any turkey. We ate at a country club. I don't know. It's a long story, but we won't even go there.
We didn't
do the traditional thing. We won't go there.
Did you guys eat a roasted liberal? At the country club?
No, nothing like that. That's not in season in Missouri. Yeah.
I thought it was always in season.
You only get that in the spring.
So what's your question, buddy?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
It's puzzled me for a long time, almost more than the issue that I've wondered why the caricature at the top of the Morning Sedition website is Mark Riley and Lyle Lovett. I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of hard to, you know, look at the picture, but...
Yeah, I'm kind of emaciated and gaunt, but it looked like me at the time. Now I look like some sort of Hasidic Jew.
Well, it was about three haircuts ago.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
I gotta know. I mean, I got to thinking. I've listened to your caricature of Bush and the Dream Diary and everything, and the Dream Diary has been the crown jewel of the Morning Sedition, as far as I'm concerned. But what is the story on Bush? What is his history? I mean, or her history? Because first of all, the girl cat named Bush, I think.
Yes.
What you said, but also. Has a strange Eastern European accent, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, time in the Foreign Legion or something, or is there some sort of the Cold War espionage we need to know about?
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you the true story of Butch is that I think about Butch was this beloved cat of mine that was a dwarf cat that I left in L.A. And about a month or two into our show, she died under our bed, and we had this horrendous conversation. I had this horrendous conversation with my wife, and she told me that Butch passed, and it was horrendous to the point where our host at the time, Sue Ellicott, because I was screaming and crying on the phone about Butch, she thought that somebody had broken into Air America, was going to kill everybody because I was out in the hallway. But it was just because Butch died. And then we, I talked to, once we started doing the Dream Diaries, Butch started surfacing. And you know, I used to talk to Kent about it because, you know, he would help, we would develop those things together. And as Butch became sort of a rebel character, she just took on, once she put on the beret, she became sort of French. Now, the Eastern European thing is just by fault of my inability to do a French accent. But once Butch became a rebel, we decided to give her this sort of French, Eastern European kind of espionage intrigue. But it was more of an anarchist thing, I think, that we were heading for. And the truth of the matter is, Butch was a female cat, and I named her Butch because she just walked with this kind of studly, kind of like in control demeanor. And I used to call
Not that there's anything wrong with a female cat being named Butch. I'm
that's right.
There.
Well, I used to call my wife Butch, so I had to switch that over to the cat, and now I just call my wife by her name, Wolf.
Well, if I may, one thing about that email I'd love to say real quick is that, and I heard this during the 2004 Democratic Convention. The Republicans were all there. Sean Hannity's doing a live remote, and he does this little bit where a 14-year-old kid, somebody's son, someone that was a delegate that was there, and a child comes up and he starts chatting with him, and the child's a Democrat, a son of a Democratic delegate. And he goes, he said that if you're, if you're under 25 or 21 and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. He goes, but if you're over 40 and you're a conservative, you don't have a brain. You know, that's something that makes me mad. You know, to this day, every time I think about it, because I thought, with all the nerve, it's like, as if at some point in your life, you say, you know what, the heck with people's well-being. I'm worried about my portfolio.
Right, right. It's condescending in that it writes liberalism off as some sort of youthful indiscretion that you grow out of.
It's all about, smoking dope and thinking, I wish that old people weren't cold in the winter, and I wish that, poor people could have a leg up, but you know what? And then you grow out of that. It's a bunch of youthful indiscretion silliness.
You grow out of your compassion and just become cold-hearted and selfish and just only care about yourself, and whoever can't keep up, screw them.
Well, of course. And also something else, just something about Morning Tradition and the tradition that what you guys have put together.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like, if you listen to other morning shows, people need to understand, and this is not a knock at the executives at AAR. Hopefully they're not going to turn out to be Slugworth.
Yeah.
Danny G, he's going to turn out to be the guy that helps you get a leg up, or I know you'll get your niche somewhere, but, man, it's like, it's a morning show, guys. I mean, people aren't ready for just absolute 100% facts in the morning. They're not ready for that.
Yeah.
They want the silly BS. They want the fart jokes. Yeah. They want that. If you listen to Opie and Anthony or Howard Stern or even Imus, he comes Newsweek and he brings it back with a joke. That's how he does it.
I just did a fart noise for you, and I've never used one out of context, but I
thought I was being cut off.
I threw a fart noise, and that is the first time I ever just did a gratuitous fart noise that wasn't in a bit, and that was for you, Cole. I just threw that in for you.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Keep on not eating meat or eating meat. I don't care. Whatever makes you happy. I hope you all, Brendan, Kalo, and John and John, and Mark and Mark, and all you guys have. I hope, wish you all the best of luck in everything you do.
Thanks a lot, man.
You guys have a great rest of whatever.
Okay. Thank you very much, Cole. Take it easy.
Take care, man.
So I can eat meat or not eat meat, and I should have a great rest of whatever. That's pretty open. You know, that leaves a lot of possibilities. Should we do this? Let's do it. All right. A couple of weeks ago, the Washington Post reported that Al-Qaeda had begun producing Western-style newscasts for the Internet, complete with an anchor and a ski mask and a gun pointed at the camera. Well, thank God, our crack investigative squad managed to get another advanced copy of the next broadcast. So here is the latest dispatch from Al-Qaeda News.
From across the nation, around the world, and under a burqa, this is a special holiday edition of Al-Qaeda News with hosts Mohammed and Mahmoud.
Merry Christmas, infidels.
It will be your last.
I am Mohammed.
I am Mahmoud.
Tonight's top story. U.S. talk of troop withdrawal from Iraq.
No, you can't leave now. We have recruiting stations there now. We tried to set them up in New York City, but, oh my God, the rent.
$2,000 for a fourth-floor walk-up studio in Chelsea, and they call us the terrorists.
On a lighter note, it's Christmas shopping season, and we bought special gift for America. Death!
If it doesn't fit, you can always return it. And now, with a few Christmas shopping tips, is our consumer reporter, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, guys. Happy holidays.
Tina, did you like my Secret Santa gift?
But if I know it's from you, it's not a Secret Santa gift now.
Idiot, you can't keep secret. That's why we never tell you anything important.
You're the idiot.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you're the idiot. You're because you're so bad.
We pause for commercial. Hey, kids, you want toy? Here is fun toy for you. Blow me up Elmo. Just tickle him and listen.
Die for jihad!
Order yours today. These won't last. Oh, no, and now back to Al-Qaeda News.
You eat a half banana and leave it in the refrigerator. What kind of idiot does something like that?
I'm finished with half banana. I don't want to eat whole banana.
Hi, this is Tina. If you plan on sending a lot of packages through the mail this season, and I know you do, one way to avoid detection is by using old ribbon from other gifts to dress things up a little. Nothing says, I'm a perfectly innocent package like a festive Christmas bow. And now, back to Mohammed and Mahmoud.
We're kicking you out of the cell. You don't... Oh, right. That was Al-Qaeda consumer reporter Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
And that is all for Al-Qaeda News. Remember, this Christmas, Santa knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
And so do we.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, Lord.
It's putting Elmo down.
Oh, Lord.
Look, you know, a week ago, the leaders of five Christian denominations, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ, issued a joint statement. This was last week, calling on Congress to come up with a budget that, quote, brings good news for the poor. Do something to help the poor of this country. Do something to get them through this winter with heating costs spiking 25%. Do something to assist them so they don't die. Help them. Be Christian. Help the underprivileged. Help the people that have nots. Now, in response to that, hundreds of activists kneeled yesterday in prayer at the Cannon House office building and stay praying as an act of civil disobedience to raise awareness of how this administration and the government are ignoring the needs of the poor. 115 people were arrested. But you know what? I'll tell you who wasn't there. I'll tell you, James Dobson in Focus on Family wasn't there. Anthony Perkins wasn't there. None of the guys who make up the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade were there. These are the people that have the mainstream Christian voting population in their palms. Why weren't they there? It's because they're bad Christians. It's because they're manipulative. All they care about is power. All they care about is maintaining and holding power or getting power through the judicial branch of the government. They don't care about people that don't have what they need in terms of heating oil. And why? We'll get into that in just a second. Is that all right, Riley?
Absolutely.
45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
past the hour. It's Mark Mariner with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, the last of two shows. Where was James Dobson when hundreds of activists, 300 activists, kneeled in prayer at the Cannon House office building and stayed praying as an act of civil disobedience? Where were the leaders of the Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade who called themselves Christians? We'll get that in a second. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines. Also, Kasawatham. From the Associated Press. From the Associated Press, House approves extension of Patriot Act. House approves extension of Patriot Act. Translation, I can't talk on the phone. Got it? From Reuters. Rio de Janeiro. Do you remember those guys that used to sell pot? You remember those guys where you'd call them up and it's like, are you asking me that on the phone? I can't believe you're asking me that on the phone. I told you to say the thing. All right. Okay, no one in there. That's
I remember
fine.
It from Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
that's about
Come on. Dave, nothing?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking
about. Your eyes is on the street.
Oh, good. That's good thinking. No, it's good, man. All right, from Reuters, Rio de Janeiro may require transvestite bathrooms. Rio de Janeiro may require transvestite bathrooms. Translation, Rio creates bathroom for half a girl from Ipanema. Half a girl from Ipanema. I'm going to put that through again. Rio de Janeiro may require transvestite bathrooms. Transvestite bathrooms to be called almost ladies' rooms. Come on, the second one never works. All right, the from ABC News, Queen Elizabeth honors Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page. Queen Elizabeth honors Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page. Translation, Queen gets a bustle in her hedgerow. Hedgerow. Is there a bustle in... Nothing? Damn! I can't believe it. 2 days left. Queen Elizabeth honors Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page. Translation, Queen has absolutely no idea who this guy is. Oh, we broke the curse of the second punchlines. All right, so let's deal with this now. Riley, James Dobson, Focus on Family, did not show up, did not make a statement where you get five denominational leaders, you know, United Methodist Church, Episcopal Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church, Presbyterian Church, United Church of Christ, all saying, asking Congress, asking the administration, please do something in this budget to help the poor people of this country. But none of these guys who are most vocal have anything to say about it.
Well, these were progressive Christians that showed up yesterday. And, of course, Dobson and their ilk are not really concerned with. And by the way, if you look at some scripture, not all, but if you look at some scripture, you will see in there various mentions of fighting poverty, of trying to work to alleviate the plight of the poor. But that's really not on the agenda of the James Dobsons of the world. They want to just make sure everybody says Christmas instead of holiday. That's what their agenda is about. And the folks that are that were doing this, I think, are to be saluted because they are, I think, starting an incremental process where you're going to start getting more than just leaders and activists showing up doing this sort of thing. You're going to get progressive people showing up to do this sort of thing, and maybe next time it won't be 300, it'll be 3,000.
That's an interesting point, because a lot of the momentum from the civil rights movement came from progressive religious people.
Absolutely.
So when something starts in the progressive religious community, the ability for other liberals and progressives to get on board is there if they can stop their own infighting. But I think that everybody can agree the plight of the poor is a very important struggle in this country. And the thing that scares me is, like you said about the fighting for, like, whether or not it's called Christmas or holidays, is that they won't touch this because James Dobson, Focus on Family, and all of the other Christo-Fascist Zombie Brigade leaders and the politicians that sympathize are in cahoots with them. They won't touch it because it works against their political agenda. They have people, like, their spokesperson said this, quote, it's not a question of poor not being important or that meeting their needs is not important, but whether or not a baby is killed in the seventh or eighth month of pregnancy. That is less important than help for the poor. We respectfully disagree with that, end quote. Who the hell asked him about that? Why do they got to do that? The dead baby show that they put on these guys will stun people into believing that poverty is acceptable. They are not fighting for the rights of the poor. They are using the propaganda idea of the rights of the unborn to trump any criticism of their political agenda. And that's the bottom line with these guys. They want to make the country a theocracy. They want to use bully the judicial branch into taking people with judicial activists like Samuel Alito in. That is their agenda. It's not about helping people. It's about getting and keeping followers by hanging dead babies over their heads. No one gets an abortion at 7 or 8 months. What are you, crazy? That is just a scam. What that is just like, look at the dead baby. Nothing else is important. Look at the dead baby.
Well, it's a sick scam because what they won't tell you, the Dobsons and the Perkinses of the world, is that they want the Congress to cut this money to the poor. They want George W. Bush's administration to say, well, no, we're not going to increase food stamp allowances so people can heat their homes. We want poor people to have to choose between eating and heating. That's what they want. That fits in with their particular political, religious agenda.
Look at a dead baby. Look, his bloody dead baby. You know, I think you're right. And also it does encourage some of these congregations to gun for more faith-based initiatives. If they don't criticize...
Interesting to use the word gun.
Yeah. If they don't criticize the administration's policy around poverty and around food stamps and this type of stuff, what happens is they're hoping that if they don't criticize them, that some of that faith-based initiative money will come and that'll be brought into their coffers, and then they'll be like, yeah, we'll take care of the poor people, don't worry, as long as they vote for you guys, and we'll take care of them and use them as we want.
Oh, yeah, they want to privatize that aspect of it, and they want their congregations, and I believe this because I believe some of these folks are really evil people. I believe they want their congregations to deliberately ignore the plight of the poor.
Right. I mean, that's what they're trying. And also ignore the plight of the poor in themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going to make them feel like, look, you got us. And you've got our mission, so you're not really poor, are you? Yeah, but I can't afford to eat. Shh, look at the dead baby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember, they're still talking about trying to raise the minimum wage in this country, which hasn't been raised since 1997. That's 8 years ago. You hear James Dobson saying people ought to be paid a living wage in this country? I don't think so.
Well, maybe we should, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit about Bob Novak in a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about this this idea that the new budget is saving, quote-unquote, saving billions of dollars over 5 years by cutting food stamps. I want to say happy birthday to Wes. He's driving trucks out there. It's his birthday.
Big happy birthday, Wes.
Show. And we'll talk to you when we come back. 57 Past Air America Radio's Morning Edition. It's 6 past the hour. I got a mouthful of granola. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. This is Mark Maron. It's Morning's Edition, and there's my buddy Mark Riley.
You.
We're sitting here doing the last of a couple of shows. I'm actually just waiting for my text messaging friend to start text messaging. There's a guy out there, I think he drives a truck in Nebraska, and all he does is text message me anytime I mention anything to do with Christians. And he starts trying to convert me and enlighten me to his truth. But I haven't seen it yet. I'm very surprised. Right now, for those of you who are just tuning in, here's a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning's Edition Cliff Notes. The Transportation Security Administration says that federal air marshals are going to be placed on trains, buses, and other mass transit in a 3-day test program starting Wednesday. Although air marshals cover only a small percentage of flights, the TSA feels they have more than enough to kill every innocent person who acts weird. This is exactly what Greyhound needs, more pissed off dumb guys with guns on every trip. Columnist Robert Novak, who first exposed CIA agent Valerie Plame, says he is confident that President Bush knows who the source of the leak is. Novak said his role in the Plame affair snowballed out of proportion as a result of a vicious campaign by the left to uncover what the actual truth was. NBC cut a segment from an Elton John special broadcast this week that featured a scantily clad Pamela Anderson doing a pole dance. Left intact were such Elton John classics as Rocket Man, featuring a scantily clad Bernie Taupin suggestively straddling an Apollo 13 rocket booster. When Elton John was asked what he thought of Anderson's performance, he said, "It didn't affect me at all. But to be honest, during Justin Timberlake's portion of the show, I was glad I was sitting at the piano, if you know what I mean."
All right. No.
Is that, see, that's weird. Yeah, I got to tell you something, Riley. You know, we got a letter yesterday. We did a joke. It wasn't a letter. It was a guy on the phone. You know, if we had more days to pull this show out, you know, we could play that. But you remember we did a joke about yesterday about Brokeback Mountain, and the joke was it was one of the working titles was Bareback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that homophobic? I mean, I understand it's a reference to sex. It is a reference that is used in the gay community and the straight community about not having sex with a condom. In the context of the movie, being that it is a gay themed movie, just by me saying Bareback Mountain, is that in any way homophobic?
I wouldn't think so, given, I mean, I don't know about everybody else's experience, but my first experience with hearing the term bareback had nothing to do with gay sex.
No, what did it have to do with?
Not using a condom during straight sex.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So we get this diatribe on the answering machine going, I can't believe I heard that kind of reference made about this beautiful movie, that, you know, that this is the type of homophobia and reasserting these are stereotypes, blah, 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 blah. But there's nothing homophobic about it. I am not a homophobic
person. You must have quite a package.
I do have quite a package. That's me talking about it. No, what was that from, that originally, Chris? Do you remember?
You were interviewing a gentleman, and you were telling him, wow, you must have quite a package, and you wanted him to show off his package.
No, I did not.
Yeah, seriously. His writing package. No, oh, he's a letterman writer.
No. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, what are you talking about? You think I'm just sitting there saying, can I see it? Nah, can I? Come on. It looks pretty good from here.
That sounds like something Marin would say.
I know, but I think it was in reference to something else. But the bottom line is it bothers me. You know, it just bothers me that they can take ownership of something. I don't even understand where they get homophobia out of that.
It's Marin, there's no such thing as context anymore.
Right.
For anyone.
Yeah.
You can't say a word that is associated with some other topic without a very specific group of people getting upset just because you said the word.
Right. Well, that's interesting because we had that conversation about the word dyke and the word dykes on bikes, that was trademarked because the patent office decided that it wasn't derisive, that the word was no longer derisive because the lesbian community, through an organization representing the lesbian community, said, we've taken ownership of that word. We now own it. We've disempowered it. We've integrated it. We use it as a positive thing. That, you know, power to the dykes, all right? But the bottom line is, no matter whether they've, you know, disempowered it as being derisive, I probably can't use it. And we talked about that yesterday. I can't say, well, she was a very wonderful dyke, and we had a very nice conversation. Because no matter how it comes out of my mouth, it's going to sound derisive to a dyke. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not real. That they will always, that it's a double, what is it, a double standard? Is that what I'm trying to say? It's just that when communities take possession of words or claim that they have re-empowered them or appropriated them or now utilize them and drain their meaning and use them for a different reason, it's still only within that community, bottom line, and they can still be just as powerful. Right? We've had this conversation about other words. You know?
There are bunches of other words that this is about, but you know, bareback is not really one of them.
No, he was overreacting because they're, you know, I tell you, my friends. So what do you make of this, Riley? What do you make of this, of Bob Novak? This guy, you know, this is sort of an interesting move he's made here. The lizard-like reporter who was the first to leak the identity of Valerie Plame in the papers has still not revealed his source, but he says that the president's the guy to ask. Quote, this is Bob Novak. So I say, don't bug me, don't bug Bob Woodward. Bug the president as to whether he should reveal the source is. He blamed the White House for not keeping it together on this thing by saying, quote, once you give an issue to a special prosecutor, use control of it, end quote. But this is a political guy, Riley.
Of course he's a political guy. And you know what?
What?
He's going to be at the White House Christmas party this year. I'd all but guarantee he will be walking up to the very George W. Bush that he's telling everybody else to go bug and shaking his hand.
Yeah. But isn't this interesting? This is a guy that, you know, has a certain amount of cachet in that community and is sort of a maverick in his assness. And he is saying, look, lay off. The president knows. Isn't that on some level admitting that there was a conspiracy to slander this guy by using his wife? By implicating Bush, I think that Robert Novak has said he knows. And if he knows, Riley, if George Bush knows, if Bob Novak is saying truth and what we assume to be true and what the special prosecutor assumes to be true, that there was a conspiracy and there is a cover-up, that there was an agenda in place in the White House Iraq group to slander this guy out of the vice president's office as a means of reprisal for not buying into their reasons or proving their reasons wrong, about the yellow cake from Niger, that if what I'm going to take Bob Novak to be saying is true, that implicates the president as being part of this conspiracy, no doubt.
Well, look, Bob Novak likes to tweak people both on the right and on the left. That's the thing. That he may be right-wing, but that doesn't mean he's the friend of every conservative he encounters.
Mm-hmm.
He is not necessarily a big fan of the Bush White House. He may not have a problem with Bush, the president himself, but he's got a big problem with the Bush White House. And in this speech, he said that the bad management on the part of the Bush administration allowed the plane affair to explode way out of proportion. Now, all of that comes together to say, don't ask me, ask Bush. Now, if that is in fact the case, if Bush does in fact know, and I don't know if he does just because Novak says so, but if Bush does know, then whatever he may have said publicly or privately, for that matter, about this affair is going to come under increased scrutiny. If he did not know, then Bob Novak is saying, geez, he should have.
Yeah.
And that's significant in and of itself as well.
Yeah. It reeks to me like my initial feeling upon reading this story was that Novak was playing something here, that Novak had decided that he's done with this administration. Is that possible?
It is possible, not certain, but possible, because Novak is never done with any administration. Mm. I mean, even if he hates you, he'll write about him. He's got 3 years left to write about this guy, even if he does hate him.
Oh, so now he's created a little tension. So now he's going to.
Exactly.
I can't stand
and
that.
He's put the spotlight once again back on himself.
And that is his raison d'etre.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it looks like, isn't this cute? Jenna's on the phone in the hospital up there in Minnesota. She had recently had surgery. And we also have Noam on the phone on a bus to D.C. with a group of high school students going from Long Island. They're both on the phone just so they can listen to the show. How often does that happen? Just to be on hold to listen to the show. And it looks like Fish Guy from the blog is on the phone. Fish Guy was actually, put him on, will you? Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man? You there? Yeah, I think that's the wrong line. Up there. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Fish Guy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's up, man?
Fire truck.
Fire truck is right, buddy. Fire truck is right.
Listen, a lot of us on the blog have commented repeatedly that if Air America is not quite smart enough to pick you up and put you on a show of your own, we would be happy to subscribe to the startup of a podcast.
Oh, okay.
So, you need some scratch to get it together. I think you can just make sure that you email everybody who crashed your site the other day.
Yeah, and then it never has to end.
Right. I got my iPod.
Yeah, I know. That's a great idea, man. How's everything with you? I haven't seen you since you showed up for me at the casino.
Things are going. Hey, listen, the other thing I wanted to say was, Riley, don't forget, once you're doing the show without Marin, keep talking about the issues.
Oh, yeah.
We're fighting for our lives.
Absolutely. At that time in the morning, 5 Eastern, we still will be fighting for our lives.
I'll be fighting for my consciousness. 5, man.
Take it easy, man. Thanks, buddy. All right. He's a good guy. All right, here we go. So what are we coming back with? We got Kevin Pollak is going to come up. I got to ask him something about Tom Cruise. You think that's out of line? Kevin Pollak, because Tom Cruise is a little weird dude.
Tom Cruise got some miracle cure for something for 9/11 firefighters or something. Yeah, he's a very weird guy.
He's becoming a, what do you call it?
Wacko.
A recruiter for Scientology is what he is. He's becoming a shameless recruiter for the ideology of Scientology. All right, are you clear? Are you clear? Are we clear? We'll be back with Future Mark, I think. Bye.
This is Wayne Gilman, better known to the hard body mamas of the greater New York metropolitan area as Newsday. When I'm not busting a cap in some jive cat's ass for hogging the printer when I'm on deadline, I'm having a funky good time with Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Ooh, Newsday.
But look who's awake. Ready for another taste of Wayne?
Morning Tradition on Air America Radio.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. Getting a little email from gay people. that are, you know, sort of saying that this guy had an interesting point. I guess I can, no, you know what, I'll read it later. I'll save it.
Aaron?
What?
Future Mark's on line one.
Future Mark, I love that guy. Put him on. Hey, buddy,
hey,
what's
buddy,
up?
What's up?
So, Future Mark, what's going on in 2050?
What do you mean? We're doing the show. What else would we be doing?
Wait. What show? Who's we?
You know, us, the guys. Everybody's here. Future Mark Riley.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Future Brendan McDonald.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Future Chris LaPresto.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Future Jim Earl.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Future Barry Lank.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Future Wayne Gilman.
Hey, buddy. What's
Future Cherry.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Future Kent Jones.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Future Mike Ferrucci.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Future Dan Pashman.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
And future boy genius John Crimmings.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
And, of course, future little Goliath.
Hey, buddy, you got any pot?
So you're doing some kind of radio show?
No, man, we're doing Morning Sedition, this show.
Wait, I thought we got canceled.
Oh, it did. It was so canceled. Everyone's scattered.
So what happened?
Well, bootleg cassettes and reel-to-reel tapes of the show started circulating around the fans. They made their way to Japan, and then in 6 months, every hipster in Tokyo was quoting the show.
Uh-huh.
It got so big that the Japanese even created their own version of Morning Sedition called When the Dawn Rises in the East, We Are Feeling Rebellious, Lucky, Fun, Joy. I got a tape of it right here.
Guten Morgen, Jianisu, Tetsujin Kanachi, Kentomo Honshu.
Uh-oh.
Japan, huh? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was enormous. Then they flew all of us over to Japan for a triumphant live appearance at Budokan. Listen to this. I got that, too.
I want you to want me.
Yeah, man, I rock.
So the Japanese decided to finance an American version of When the Dawn Rises in the East, We Are Feeling Rebellious, Lucky, Fun, Joy. I mean, Morning Sedition. Domo arigato, Mitsubishi.
So you've been doing this show ever since?
Oh, yeah. Now it's a beloved American tradition.
Wow.
We're such an institution, everyone tried to rip us off.
Really?
Our lawyers had to sue Morning Tradition, the conservative version of the show. Then the evangelicals came up with Morning Perdition. We got that canned. Our legal team even shut down NPR's Morning Edition.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Morning Edition was on way before we were on.
Well, we do have the courts on our side. Wait, sorry, I'll back up. You see, the show was so popular that when the Democratic Party folded...
I knew it! I knew it would fold!
That Morning Sedition just naturally filled the political void. The Sedition Party, funded entirely by the Japanese, won two or three elections in a row, and now we control the Congress,
yeah.
The media, the courts. It's headed up by Chief Justice Little Goliath.
Really? So I take it pot is legal?
Legal? Dude, try mandatory. No, really, try it. Or else...
Okay, wait. So what you're saying, Future Mark, is what we did here in 2004 and 2005 was just ahead of its time?
50 years ahead of its time, dude. We're still trying to figure some of it out, especially Little Goliath. Turns out you guys were more influential than even the spin doctors.
All right. Thanks.
No, Mark. On behalf of everyone here at Morning Sedition, the Sedition Party, the Sedition People's Army, Sedition Global Enterprises, and, of course, Mitsubishi, thank you.
No problem, dude. I'm just glad to know that in the future I won't have to learn air conditioning repair.
Actually, you will. But we'll get into that another time. Take it easy, buddy.
Oh, Future Mark. That sounds good. It's encouraging. At least there's a future for us. All right, here's the letter. Maybe this will provoke some conversation on our last day or two here. Okay, here's the problem. There's an email. Since the only group of people that it is okay to make fun of, even in the progressive movement, is the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, so when a movie is parodied on your show, a movie that is a landmark for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, many in the community will be offended and some will call you homophobic. You have today made a tranny joke. Now see, even that, tranny, is that okay? Tranny? Tranny. Wasn't that the right? Okay. But it's alright. The other day, a joke, out of Dykes on Bikes and the bareback remark, do I, as a gay, politically active man, find your remarks homophobic? No. But insensitive? Yes. Sorry your show's going off the air. I listen every morning. I'll miss you being together. Russ Good. Ooh, I almost said his last name. But, I thank you, Russ, and I think that is a provocative, true statement. It is a little insensitive, but sometimes comedy's a little harsh. CJ in Ithaca, you want to address the same thing? We only got a minute here.
Yeah, I don't really find that offensive. I've heard my own fellas, I'm gay, kind of make the same comment and make the same joke about that title.
And, yeah.
So so I think they should get over it. And the other day when you did the alternate Western title, they were an absolute riot. They had me in tears and makes me miss you guys even more in advance.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Which one, TJ, what was your favorite one? You remember?
I think the one you started with, maybe because of the way you said it, the good, the bad, and the fabulous.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling.
Yep, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
You know, it's really a matter of having a sense of humor and not necessarily politicizing everything and realizing, hey, it's okay, man. It's okay to laugh at this stuff. You know, I'm certainly, you know, not out to, I'm not going to apologize for anything. Sometimes jokes are a little rough. What are you going to do? It's 7:27 here in New York. That means 27 past for the rest of you, wherever you're listening. We've got Kevin Pollak coming up, so that should be fun. Stay around. 27 again past.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Sedition old-time radio players present this installment of Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
This week, Mark Maron returns as Mark Maron, Private Eye.
Today, I would face the most urgent case of my career. Who killed Morning Sedition? I'd have to drop in on the usual suspects. Was it Lawton Smalls?
I didn't do it, but I am against socialist propaganda in principle, okay?
Was it Cardinal Milfinton?
You know better than to interrupt me during the chicken ritual? Otasamo tata patita.
Could it have been Sammy the Stem Cell?
I wasn't going to be the captain of one lousy tuna boat. Yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense, but I'm sacred life. So shut up, you kale-munching recovery hippie.
Or maybe it was Johnny K Street.
Morning Sedition. Who would want to whack Morning Sedition? Hold on a minute. The valet's bringing my car around. What the... Hey, Mark, is there something you're not telling me?
Or could it have been Bruce Cherry and his pitch of the week?
Any suggestion that I have anything at all to do with the demise of Morning Sedition is absurd. Now, if you don't mind, I have work to do on my latest pitch. Josier, Brendan! Josier!
Did Angus McFarker kill Morning Sedition?
Somebody got killed! Where? I want in on it! Goal!
I also couldn't but wonder if it was the ghost of former Morning Sedition co-host, Sue Ellicott.
Unfortunately, Mark, though your quip was amusing, you mispronounced the name of the Swedish ambassador to the United Nations, Jan Eliasson.
Maybe Newsdaddy killed my show.
No, but Newsdaddy has the scoop on who the real killer is.
Oh, Newsdaddy.
Looks like that bulletin has to wait. I've got some hard news for this little lady that'll increase both our circulations.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was Mark the Shark.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Mark the Shark. I lost my program.
Maybe it was Future Mark.
I'm in the future. Why would I do that? That would screw up my present. You haven't thought this through, have you?
Or it could have been the Al-Qaeda news anchors.
Yes, we killed Morning Sedition. We take credit.
America's great Satan. Air America's great Air Satan. Morning Sedition is great wacky morning drive time Satan.
Or maybe it was the radio theater announcer.
Who killed Morning Sedition? Find out next time on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
There is no next time.
I'm sorry?
This is the last episode, Barry. We'll never know who killed Morning Sedition.
You mean I'm not doing this voice anymore? I've been doing it now for a year and a half.
No, man, just talk in your real voice.
Okay. I'm talking in my real voice. Oh, my God, this is liberating.
Ha-ha! 37 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I guess that's not... That is the last one. That is the last radio theater. There you go. Our next guest is invariably described as the actor you'd know if you saw his face. Come on, a lot of people know you.
Jesus.
A lot of people know you. His breakout role was in A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson and Demi Moore. Most recently, he starred alongside Bruce Willis in Hostage. He's performing at Caroline's Comedy Club here in New York City this weekend. Kevin Pollak has the weird and slightly tragic privilege of being our last guest ever on Morning Sedition. He joins us live in studio this morning. How are you, Kevin?
I can only...
What a burden.
Wow.
What a burden.
Damn, I hope you're funny, man. You know, you're it. You're the last guy.
You know, I guess I'm here to save the show somehow.
Yes, save it. It's all
what
on you.
Is the notion for the booking that you got, your producers were wise enough to book the guy who you only know if you see his face on your radio show to save the day.
People
well, that makes
they
sense.
Love you.
Yes, they do. And I don't know what genius wrote that as part of your intro, which, by the way, was a lovely intro.
Thank
and
you,
also
man.
Prior to it,
yeah.
I must say, listening to that fabulously produced piece,
yeah, you're,
it is an absolute wonder.
Yeah.
How the show got canceled.
I'm not getting the tone. Am I getting... let me ask you a question, because we were just talking about this. We did a joke.
Mm.
You know, not necessarily a great joke or a bad joke.
It's a weak
joke.
It's
a joke.
About weak.
I did a joke. You know, the joke was pretty simple. That one of the words... The original...
Wow. I guess you're staying.
He is staying.
Of course.
Yes.
Job security.
I'm already establishing distance.
Job security cracking wise. Yeah, I dig it, man.
Oh, man. So yeah. the joke was... that the working title for Brokeback Mountain was Bareback Mountain.
Uh-huh.
That was, you know...
A fine joke.
Yeah, it's a fine joke. And yet it offended some people. Some people called it...
What?
Exactly. Have you done jokes where there were people who said, well, I think that's racist or homophobic or wrong, and you've just had to go, what the hell are you talking about?
I think you get to a certain point where when that reaction occurs, you wear it as a purple heart.
Yes.
You know, and it's not that it was part of the intent of doing the joke to offend, although sometimes certainly. but you actually say, good.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
If everyone thinks that's peaches and cream, I'm screwed.
That's right. That's absolutely. If everybody likes you, what kind of spineless bastard are you?
That's exactly.
I have a theory that if there's not at least a couple of people out there in the world saying this about you, I know that guy. He's an ass.
Yeah.
You really haven't made an impact.
Let me line one up for you.
Okay.
I got a 3-word review for the movie Rent.
Okay.
Rent, went, don't. Now, that's going to offend some people, and I don't care.
Why would that offend people?
I don't know. Brokeback Mountain, on the other hand,
yeah.
You know, I got to say, as a wildly heterosexual man who's just a crazy movie buff and loves to see great performances on film, which is clearly all that's being suggested by way of reviews, but that's the Golden Globe nominations.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a clinic in wonderful acting by the youngsters of today.
Did you go see it?
Can't.
Why?
For the same reason that I can't ever really have become a fan of Six Feet Under. Because I would watch the show.
Yeah.
I'm just truly and sincerely, with no irony at all or humor, a tremendous fan and supporter of everything gay.
Yeah.
In terms of their rights and whatnot.
Yes.
I have only one request.
Yeah.
Do not make me watch.
Yeah.
That's it. That is it, by the way. I will sign petitions. I will walk. Yeah. I will write. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, but I make it clear to all of them who are my friends, do not make me watch.
If you
need to make out, find a room.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same, by the way. So I'll watch 6 Feet Under. Oh, this is funny. That's a great character. Oh, guys, make it out. Gotta go.
Yeah. Now, but that...
I heard explicit fun gay sex in Brokeback Mountain, I said, well, really explicit. So not just... the kind that the rest of us can deal with.
Yeah.
You want to go and say, watch this.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
King David cinema action?
Hang in there with us, because we're going to do this for a while.
But now, look, I obviously, as a straight person, I don't necessarily get a charge out of watching gay sex, and I don't mind if someone's making out next to me who are straight couples making out. Sometimes I'm sort of like, oh, that's pretty good. I don't want to stare at them. But so that's, I wouldn't call what you're experiencing homophobia. You're just uncomfortable.
Well, particularly in a movie, you mentioned in real life.
Okay.
No, then it's just, you see it all the time.
Yeah,
and it's as wonderful or annoying as seeing a heterosexual couple holding hands or making out.
Yeah.
It doesn't interest me because I'm not involved.
Right.
but in terms of the cinema and great storytelling therein, that's where I really fall into, God, you know what? Like, Just don't make me watch.
Did you know that? Did you know that, that Midnight Cowboy is about a gay relationship? I never knew this.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean,
I it came as a complete surprise to me years after I saw it. I always loved the movie. I'd seen it three or four times when I was in high school, and I never assumed that that was about a
two guys falling in love.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't quite get that. Am I stupid?
Well, maybe that's why you get a Brokeback Mountain.
Uh-huh.
They really want people to know.
To understand?
Yes, that this is a relationship.
I'm going to go see it. I'm curious to see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there, on some level, what's at the core of a lot of homophobia is really that you will be sitting there as a straight guy going, I'm not going to like this, and just go, oh, my God, I'm gay.
Well, that's, you know what? You are gay.
I know.
I mean, that is a beautifully executed gay description of why someone who would not be able to enjoy it of a heterosexual nature.
Okay.
In that, I would be afraid. Oh, man, that's hot.
Yeah.
Would take place in my mind.
So that in and of itself is homophobia, no?
What? Thinking that gay sex is hot?
Being afraid that you're gay.
Oh.
On some level.
I don't know.
I think that's the undercurrent, yes.
Yeah, and out of that fear comes a sort of like, I'm not gay. Screw you for being gay.
And that's always the funny part of a movie.
Yeah.
Where in a comedy, you've seen this too many times, where the tough guy in the group is the one really picking on gay people. And then, don't you know it, we find out he's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he protests too much. Yeah. So that's, I think that's ingrained in us as well.
I think we've solved some big issues here for a couple of straight guys.
So
now, Kevin.
Yes.
We're gonna take a break in a second. But before we do, what do I want to ask you real quick? I wanted to ask
you. If I want to make out?
Yeah, do you want to make out?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it on the break. We'll be right back. Will you hang around?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Kevin Pollak, 44 past the hour.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil. In 3 hours or less, Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Edition program. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
You.
Kevin Pollak's hanging out for a couple minutes, aren't
Hello.
You?
Hello.
There are a lot of big stories in the news this week, people, so let's get some bets down with our own Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. Johnny, where's the action, man?
It follows me, baby! First of all, Mark, I just want to thank you for having me on the show all this time. I know you're moving on to bigger and better things after this week, which, by the way, cost me some money.
So
after I heard the news that you wouldn't be doing the show anymore, I had you at 10-1 to flip out, go on a bender, and eventually get shot in a botched convenience store robbery. So here's to being wrong.
Thanks, Johnny. That's nice of you, I think.
Personally, yeah. I think you're going to do great. Yeah. But I took a little informal poll among some of my regular customers and about what the future holds for Mark Maron, and this is what it broke down to.
Okay.
You ready? This is the overall action on your future. Okay?
Yeah.
You go back to L.A., host some stupid show like Talk Soup. Some producer sees you, gives you a part in a sitcom, one of the guys, five kids and a dad, dumb guy and hot wife, you know, one of those. You buy a big house, some cars, join Kabbalah, live large for a while. Then the sitcom tanks, you lose everything. You're in debt over your head. You start scrounging around for work, taking everything you can, celebrity poker shows, the Animal Planet, infomercial. You start smoking crack for a few years, ease the pain a little. A couple of years into your addiction, you're fluffing guys on the sets of amateur gay porn movies for a $5 rock. You finally go into rehab. Is that caller still there? You finally go into rehab. Find Jesus and join the Republican Party.
Oh, my God.
You spend the rest of your life in a small studio in Tacoma with two cats and an uncontrollable twitch from your years of abuse. That's going off at 50-1.
What was that part about the porn?
I'll take that one for 500, Johnny.
Put me down for 100.
Brenda's down for 100. Kalo's down for 50.
Hey, come on, you guys.
All right.
So, Johnny, getting down to business, what kind of action do you have on the possible transit strike?
Not going to happen. You know, the subways are always crowded this time of the year, and it's ridiculous. ridiculous. You can't move. No, I'm not homophobic or anything, but some guy was jammed up against me the other night for so long, I felt like he owed me a drink. No. You know what I'm saying? He finally said to me, could you move? I'm getting off. I said, don't push your luck, but thanks for the warning.
Johnny, wasn't there an announcement you wanted to make about now?
Yes, there is. Mark, I want you to know I'm headed out to L.A. myself. I just might be running into you.
Oh, man. Don't tell me.
Mark? I've recently signed a deal with a major Hollywood producer. Starting next fall, the FX channel is going to be doing a series based on my life.
Uh-huh.
It's called Five Card Stud, the Johnny K Street Story.
That's a catchy title. Who's going to play you, Johnny?
Right now, it's a toss-up between Bronson Pinchot and Steve Guttenberg. As they say in L.A., it's got a lot of great buzz.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, Johnny, do you have anything special planned for the holidays?
I'm glad you asked. This Christmas Eve, I'll be at my favorite parish, our sister of the recurring rash in T-neck.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Where I will be assisting Father Tony Del Rocco in Midnight Mass and giving my annual sermon on the dangers of gambling without using an experienced odds maker. If you're going to gamble, and gamble you should, go with a professional.
Absolutely.
And one other thing, if I may. Yeah. You know, Mark and Mark, this is the season when it's important to give rather than receive, if I should get serious for a second.
Okay.
That's why this year, for the first time, I've organized my Bets for Tots campaign. 10% of all my profit goes to underprivileged kids from now until Christmas. So bet big and bet often. It's for a good cause.
Wow, you know, that's really nice of you, Johnny. And you really do have the Christmas spirit.
Well, it's a special arrangement I worked out with the DA. I call it Bets for Tots. They call it community service. Hey, it beats working in a soup kitchen. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is I generate a lot of scooch for the kids. And I don't have to ladle out oatmeal to a bunch of losers on Christmas morning. Everybody wins. That's what's going down on K Street. Happy holidays. Good luck to you, and I'm out of here.
All right, Johnny K Street. We got Kevin Pollak in studio. Do you want to hang out for a second, Mike? Hang out for a second.
Where are you running?
Kevin Pollak and Mike Ferrucci, who plays Johnny K Street, have known each other for years.
Yes, we have.
Old San Francisco days. Kevin Pollak tonight at Caroline's Comedy Club. If you want to get information on him, you can go to kevinpollak.com. If you want information on tonight, you can go to carolines.com. So what, you guys were of the great San Francisco generation of comics.
Listen.
Who was in the graduating class?
We were talking before.
Yes, we were.
You had Dana Carvey and Bobby Slayton as a couple of the big hitters that I remember. But I was really mostly impressed with the graduating class behind us.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was
with Jake Johansson and Paula Poundstone, Alan DeGeneres and Robbie Schneider.
Dana Gould.
Kevin Meaney. Absolutely. I mean, that's an impressive group.
Yeah, and who's still, who are the guys that you're like, what happened to that guy?
Well, listen.
We all know what happened to them. We just can't mention it on the radio.
That is true. That's the weird thing is you do know what happened to
them. Oh, yeah.
So are you doing, are you making a movie or anything?
Yes, absolutely. I have a deal with show business now.
That's very good.
Every,
with show business.
Every seventh film made, I am in.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if you have a dish or any sort of cable outlet in your home.
Yeah.
You cannot avoid me.
So you got a Kevin Pollak station?
That would be too serious of a commitment from show business.
Can I ask you? I'm going to ask you a weird question because you come from
Mayday.
You you have a lot of respect for the history of comedy. I can tell just by the way you present yourself. So now, in your lifetime as a comedian, what was one of the great moments in terms of meeting somebody where you were just so like, oh my god, or working with somebody where you probably get this question a lot, but I'm just curious.
From the world of comedy, one of the first films I did was L.A. Story, and studying at the feet of Steve Martin in that film, knowing he had written it, not knowing what a, not-so-great film it would turn out to be. and utter disappointment as a comedy.
But it was fun to work with Steve.
But just to study at his feet in the same room was pretty amazing. He, one of those little things you remember from moments like that. Larry Miller,
He's hilarious. Where did he start, Mike?
Larry Miller, New York.
He was
actually.
That's right. There's pictures of him with hair at the comic strip.
Oh, yeah, it's very good.
No, he was the Rat Pack of Seinfeld, Larry Miller, Mark Schiff, and Paul Reiser.
Mark Schiff, God bless.
Mark Schiff. Which name doesn't belong? I'm kidding.
When did you... But no,
Mark Schiff's a rabbi now.
Is he really?
No, almost.
So that was a big one. And you know, also at the Improv in L.A., you would sometimes share the stage with literally Milton Berle, or would get up and it would just blow your mind. But Albert Brooks, by far, for me personally, was my greatest hero that I met.
Can I make a request?
Please, buddy, what is it? You need a little Albert? All right, here's the deal. I'm going to go lie down and take a nap. I want you guys to continue with the funny as you say goodbye to the sweet ass that is your audience for the last time with a guest. I guess you'll have a show tomorrow, though, where you'll actually tell everyone what you really think, and that'll be some amazing radio that no one will listen to ever again. And I'll see you in Los Angeles, where everything's palm trees.
Pollock will be at Caroline's Comedy Club tonight. It's great seeing you. Thanks for being our last guest.
God bless.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
You take care. We'll be back with, I think we're going to do Sammy, the stem cell, the last one. Ooh. Thank you, Mike, for hanging out.
Thank you.
All right, 57 past, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. Six past the hour.
Free gum.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
For just two more days, that's what it is. I'd like to thank Tracy out there in Hawaii for the beautiful bouquet of flowers and all the baked goods. She's been just great. She's down there at ogoodies.com. It's a bakery down there in Hawaii on Maui. I also want to thank Lori for the beautiful cookies that have actual silk screens on them, it looks like. And, of course, I want to thank Kristen up there in Chicago for the beautiful painting. Very nice stuff, Riley.
Well, we also got to thank someone who just came.
Just came down. Mayor. Our mayor from the blog just came and delivered all of us shirts in person with the peace signs on it, all different versions of the peace sign. I've got the flaming peace sign. See
me
that?
Too.
You got the flaming one?
Yeah, the flaming
and
peace sign.
And I've got this one for Mishna. She's very lovely. Very lovely woman who's been with us since the beginning.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. One of our writers, Bruce Cherry, has been trying to get a regular character on the show, and last week I came to my senses and gave him a permanent swap for as long as the show lasts. You remember that, Bruce?
Oh, I remember.
So here he is today as I make good on that vow. Please welcome my dear friend Bruce Cherry for Bruce Cherry's Pitch of the Week.
Mark, have I got a pitch for you this week.
Okay, all right. Well, I can't wait to hear it there, Bruce.
Excuse me, was I talking to you?
Well, I am Mark.
Correction. You were Mark.
Ooh.
Now Mark is Riley.
Okay.
I found out the show's been canceled.
Uh-huh.
By stumbling across Mike Ferrucci's invitation to the rap party, I might add.
Uh-huh.
And why wasn't I invited
to
the party?
Well, look, Bruce, we didn't know how to break it to you. We thought you'd put all the chicken fingers in your pockets like you did last year's Christmas party, so.
People saw that?
Yeah.
Hey, I wasn't invited to that party either. I just wanted some hors d'oeuvres before I got asked to leave.
Look, I'm sorry, buddy, but you have this week for the last pitch. Will you do it?
Yeah, I plan to make the most of it.
Okay.
Riley, I understand you're going to have your own show.
That's right, Bruce, Mondays through Fridays.
Well, Maron, you'll have to excuse me while I throw this pitch over the plate,
okay.
i.e., that is, ergo, to Riley.
All right.
Sorry, Maron, you don't exist for me anymore.
I get it.
Unless you get that show in L.A., in which case I brought this demo reel.
Bruce, I know what you're capable of. I have your name on a list, and I'm going to give it to security at the new studio.
Riley, I think you have a little feedback in the studio here. I keep hearing a buzzing sound.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Riley, you ready to meet your new co-host?
I was thinking...
Don't answer. The way I see it, Riley, you need two things. Hard-hitting journalism and something to get the kids excited. And what do you do when you need a combination of journalistic integrity and youth appeal?
Well, the point I want to...
Exactly, Commissioner Gordon. You send up the Bruce signal. Here's the pitch. I'm a rapping reporter named... Get the... Scoop Dog. Brilliant, isn't it? Scoop Dog.
Gee, Bruce, I didn't know you were into rap.
Hey, I love the hippity hop. And to lay down the beats, I got my man, DJ Kalo, Chris Lopresto. You ready to get fat, Chris?
Yeah, and Bruce, I was listening to the show last week from home, and you referred to me as a stooge. What was that supposed to mean, dude?
Whoa, don't take it the wrong way, Chris. I meant stooge like in imbecile.
Oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah. You ever see the Deuce Bigalow movies? You're like the Adrian Brody character.
Really? Oh, that's cool. Wait, was he even in that?
Yeah, he was a stooge.
Cool.
Man, I can't believe how dumb Kayla is.
I saw him the other day in the men's room trying to figure out the urinal.
Guys, I can hear everything you're saying.
Oh, but it's not sinking in, is it?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, I'm ready to lay down some funky beats.
Excellent. Here it is, Riley. The theme song for your new co-host, Scoop Dog. Hit it, Kalo. My name's Scoop Dog. I keep your heads a-bobbin'. I got more scoops than Baskin-Robbins.
Oh.
I got rhymes and headlines for you to consider. I'm a rap journalism mogul. I'm Suge Knight Ritter. From polar ice caps to climes more tropical, I got the news and my rhymes are topical. From Washington capers to Hollywood filming, I scoop all the papers and even I'm Wayne Gilman. Huh? What do you think, Riley? Listen to this, man.
Uh-huh.
Look, Bruce, I'm sorry. I just don't think as a rapper you're credible.
You want cred? I'm about to get it. Kalo? Do the thing we talked about.
You got it.
Oh, God! You idiot! You shot me! I mean, you really shot me!
That's what you said to do, dude!
To the radio, you moron! I meant you should use sound effects!
Oh, man, am I in trouble?
No, it's all right, Chris. You did your best, man.
Okay! Did your best, you idiots! I'm dying! Admittedly, it's not for the first time on this show, but this time I'm dying from gunshots! Riley, before I die, I gotta know, would I have gotten the gig?
I like the part with Kalo.
Hey, can I do it again?
I think he meant his the music part, Chris. Stop shooting Bruce, will you? Because we're out of time, okay? All right, that's it for Bruce Cherry's Pitch of the Week.
Yes!
God, I feel like I was disappointing in that.
Well, gee, and you know, there were people that thought you were black before this.
Technically, I shouldn't talk because I'm dead, but then people, you know.
Hey, don't worry about it.
We're opening it up, man. We're breaking the fourth wall. It's the last 2 days. Wayne Gilman's even sitting in here enjoying the comedy.
The redoubtable news daddy himself.
And I'm honored that I was actually mentioned in that bit.
You were the...
And Bruce, I always thought you were black.
Yeah.
I'm so glad
Al Franken's not here. He'd be like, yeah, true Mark Riley's here.
No, it's Riley. Know? Are you interviewing Al Sharpton?
Yeah.
He's like, Chucky Williams survived. And there's two of them.
Exactly. You know, it's a shame. Yeah. What's with Franken with that?
I don't know, but we need to get him that book, Facts About Blacks.
Oh, really?
What is that book about?
I don't think that would help him either.
I don't know, man.
It's a recurring thing with him. Whenever he sees me, he thinks I'm either you or Sharpton.
You fellas all look the same a little bit.
And Randy does the same thing to you, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Randy Rose.
Randy apologized profusely.
Does that count?
What did she say?
No, she thought I was you one day, and then the next day it was Sharpton, so I explained to her that I get this all the time. But I also had to make the point
that
I
look a lot better. Dave Dinkins?
No.
Is somebody going to mistake you for the former mayor?
Well, I mean, I understand now how they felt when they were working in the old place, you know, when they were the minority.
And this has been a preview of the Mark Riley Show.
I would not feel so all alone.
You know what I get all the time? George Foreman.
Really?
Yeah, I can see that.
Why would you be working in radio? You made 113 mil off your grill.
Well, Wayne, you know, we had a great time mythologizing you and making you larger than life on our show.
I have a new identity, and it's great to meet with you for that. Yeah. And I'm going to miss you, Mark.
I'm going to miss you too, man.
Every time, you know, I go down the West Side Highway coming into work every day, for those who are outside of Manhattan, it's alongside the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And he almost drives a huge, giant-sized picture of Menachem Schneerson. And whenever I get to that point, I think of you. I don't know.
We all sort of look the same.
Is this more of that Sharp and Riley thing?
I got a beard going.
I think in a couple of years.
Another Jew with a beard. Yeah, you know how they are. You know. All right. You're going to be around tomorrow, right?
I will be.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. It's 14 past. We're going to do Sammy the Stem. You will. Thank you, Bruce. We'll do Sammy the Stem Cell when we come back. America Radio's Morning Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program, my friends. One more to go. All right, now to help us sort out some of the latest developments and issues surrounding stem cell research, we have a very controversial guest, Sammy the Stem Cell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sammy the Stem Cell. I'm a complete integrated human being. Tom DeLay said so.
Sammy, hey, what's your take on the recent story about those mice whose brains were injected with embryonic stem cells?
Mark, yeah. Before we go on, I need to ask Sammy something.
All right. Oh, great. Give the black guy a mic and he wants to make an album. Why is it, Riley?
Sorry.
Sammy, what's that strange-looking apparatus right next to you that appears to be constructed out of old toy parts and an electric clock motor?
Jumpin' Jesus! It's a Thanatron!
Thana-who?
A Kevorkian death machine, Riley! Sammy, what are you doing?
Well, I was going to wait until after the show, guys, but with Morning Sedition canceled, I feel so bad about not being able to bother you anymore, I've decided to have you kill myself. You dumb Jaime?
What? What? I can't do that. You're
secret life?
Wait a second. Did you just call me a dumb Jaime?
You owe me, Marin. You made this show tank. And thanks to you, I'll never be able to grow up to be the Zodiac Killer.
Made this show tank? Listen, buddy. We just got a 1.5 rating, you piece of...
Why don't you go choke on a kiwi, you curly-haired sad sack? You have to kill me. Besides, if you don't, it'll prove you hate my freedom.
But, Sammy...
Please, Mark. You're in my will, see?
I, Sammy the Stem Cell Trafficante, do hereby bequeath to the nard-gargling sauce monkey a big butt full of nothing. Okay, Sammy, you win. But before I push the button, I need to ask you something that's been plaguing me for months now.
Yes?
Do you love me?
Do I what?
Do you love me?
Do I love you? For 21 months I cooked for him, ate with him, slept with him. For 21 months my life is his. If that's not love, what is?
Then you love me.
I suppose I do.
And I suppose I love you, too.
It doesn't change a thing, but even so, after 21 months, you dumb heap, it's nice to know. Christ killer.
Guys, we're running out of time. If you're going to kill Sammy, you got to do it now.
You know what to do, Mark. Push the button. No, not that button, you idiot. The one Mark killed character.
I'm sorry. I'm just so nervous, you know. All right. Here it goes. Goodbye, Sammy. So long.
Oh. Hey,
how are you feeling, Sammy?
Oh, sinking. Mark?
Yeah, Sammy, I'm here.
I heard your mother made $1 million.
Yeah.
Picking up quarters with her vagina.
You're grotesque.
And you're welcome.
We're losing him.
I'm Sammy, the stem cell. D-doodly dumb. D...
He's gone.
Oh, man, this is so sad. Gosh.
I know. I'm going to miss that little fella.
He was my friend.
Dudes. Did he have any pot on him?
Oh, this hurts it.
I hope you never get well. I'm Sammy the Stem Cell. Hey, Mark.
What?
Go to hell. I'm Sacred Life. I did your wife. I'm Sammy the Stem Cell. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Wonderful.
Wait a minute, I'm applauding Jim Earl.
Just wonderful. Yes, you are. Oh, okay. We're all applauding the
just
one.
Just want to be clear.
Man, that was touching. You okay, Bear?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
What was horrible, I thought, was lovely. We sang songs. We said goodbye to a friend. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, what's up your, butt, fella?
That was painful.
It was? What was painful about it for you?
Just, watching a character die, America's most beloved pre-life.
Oh, Lord. I can see the emails now. In light of the execution of Tukey Williams, we think this particular spot was particularly insensitive.
Well, you had to bring that.
We demand your show go off the air.
Oh, man. Well, Jim, yeah. I think things are starting to look up. Maybe, you and I, I know we'll be in L.A. and we'll have friends out there. At least we can have lunch and stuff.
Sure.
What?
I got a couple of people who looked at my website.
You did yesterday after Susan Sarandon plugged it?
Yeah. What website is that, by the way?
Is it JimEarl.com?
Yes, it is.
What is it again?
JimEarl.com.
Wow. So you can just go to JimEarl.com and...
see nothing.
Sounds great.
You can look at stuff from all the other people who just went to see JimEarl.com.
Yeah.
So this is terrific. Just the three or four of us sitting here together and...
Are we really going to have dinner and lunch in L.A.?
Yeah, we're going to put the show together there. I think that's going to work out. I really do.
You're not going to avoid me, are you?
No.
Like you did before?
No, I'm not. You didn't like me, Jim. You didn't like me. Back in the old days, you didn't like me. Ask Kevin Pollak.
Well, you sat up on stage on a stool with a cigarette, and a friggin' mug that said Carpe Diem.
No, I did not have a mug, but I did sit on a stool with a cigarette. I was up there trying to, be Mr. Truth Guy. You know what I mean?
Kevin Pollak knows who we are?
Yeah.
This comes as news.
Well, he kind of pretended to. He knew Mike Ferrucci, and I said, Lankin Earl, and he went, sure, Mike, Lankin Earl, sure. Yeah. They were the next generation.
He mistook us for Al Sharpton. Sure. He doesn't know who we are.
He said one of them's a Jew, right? There's a Jewish one and then a WASPy guy.
Yeah.
That was
really? He said that?
Yeah, he did. Man, I got to do a story or something. This is going nowhere. Well, we got like a minute and a half.
Why don't you talk about religion?
What do you mean? I'm not going to talk about religion. I'm going to talk about
that
the
in the
future.
First segment.
I'm going to talk about the future of our show. Mark Riley's going to have his own show here in a couple of weeks. And Rachel Maddow will be here from 7 to 9. And you and I will be at Cantor's. Wondering what the hell went wrong with our lives at 2:30 in the morning, watching Chucky Weiss, throw up on himself in a corner booth. Oh, yeah. What, Brendan? What's going on in there?
There's
90 people in there.
Well, some of the executives are here.
Great. Why did you tell me that before started this? This airway.
I thought I did tell you that we were going to have at least one on, but.
Yeah. Who is he? Now I feel like an idiot. What? Yeah. Who?
We're going to have somebody on in the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
now
I feel this is hilarious. So now I got an executive coming on. We just wasted like 2 minutes of airtime. You know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do? Fire me?
Life is not a waste of airtime.
Yes. Yes, I know.
You got to learn that.
No. I'm going to Los Angeles on Saturday. And tonight I'm going to be on the Majority Report with Sam Seder. You're familiar with that show? It's a show they have on the evenings.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. He's another classic Jew. Tell me who is it that guy right there?
Yes, Steve Gilmartin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steve Gilmartin. Do I know this guy? Have I met him? I mean, there's like a new executive every 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Now he's uncomfortable. Have I met you? I have. All right, so we're going to talk to him on the air. All right, that's fine. It's 27 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I guess we're going to talk to this fella, and then we're going to close things up. It's again. Wow, that was a great 2 minutes of radio, wasn't it, Jim?
I loved it.
JimEarl.com?
Yeah, JimEarl.com.
Barry Lank,
and
anything?
And the snotgreenc.com.
BarryLank.com as well.
Yeah, Barry Lank. Great.
All right, talk to you in a second.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
We have a new Pope. Pope Benedict the 16th, formerly Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Now, we Cardinal Milfington had a friend who was actually in the Vatican, which was, of course, one of the oldest mega churches. And he was there and he witnessed the process by which they picked the Pope and was actually able to record some of it. And we got this mini disc this morning, and it's pretty powerful. And let's hear that. Can we, Kayla?
Gentlemen, gentlemen, if I may have your attention, please. P as in the Paul, 6. P, 6. No. Next. O, 15. Oh, you know, I like it, Old Testament, 15. O, 15. Ah, here she comes, the next ping pong ball. E as in Ecclesiastes, 8. E8.
Hey, I got a pope there. Everybody, I'm in a new pope.
Okay, bring up your card, Giuseppe. Let me check your numbers. Yeah, she's looking good. Oh, we got a new pope. Somebody crank up the white smoke.
A lot of people didn't realize that they are forced to speak in Chico Marx-like Italian accents.
Bensonhurst, Brooklyn Italian accents.
Sure,
in a couple
of
cases.
Yeah, and even the Ratzinger, who's German, they're all forced to speak like that. Because you would think that, you know, he says, I'm the new Pope. You would think it'd be more of a German, Pope, you know, whatever that, you know.
He speaks 10 languages, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Except, so this might have been one of the 10, which was, you know, Italian-American accent.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
All right, 36 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
Coming in on the last couple of days. You know, I know we got to talk to this guy, but can we, I know that this is something they want me to do, but can we just hear a couple more clips? I mean, we've got 2 days of this thing. Can we just hear, we got time to do the other thing. Can we just hear another clip?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
And now, another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Here's an interesting poll for our Morning Sedition poll. We have a very sophisticated polling system. We sent our agents into the field to get some opinions, you know, from regular people. Here's what we found out. Question one, without offering a clear explanation of why we were asking, we asked 512 people to choose simply God or country. 70 said God, 62 said country, 13 asked, you mean like Merle Haggard country or Shania Twain country? 212 people said, I'm happy with my internet provider, and scurried away. Then we asked the follow-up, oh, really? And then the numbers changed to 180 said God, 95 said country. Only one said, yes, really, but then he asked, why? Then we said, we asked the questions here, tough guy. And then he said, what are you going to do? Do something about it, are you? And then after a while, we both backed down, and now everything's cool.
But then
we decided to make it a little trickier. We asked, which text is more important in your life, the Bible, the Constitution, or the Da Vinci Code? 240 said the Bible. 175 said the Constitution. 15 thought the Bible was the Constitution. 35 said the Da Vinci Code. And 6 asked if it's true that Tom Hanks will be in the movie. Then someone started bugging us about our internet provider. You know, can't we just do some simple polling in the park without being harassed by these people?
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
All right, now it's 38 past the hour. You know what? It's weird. I feel like we're like we've only got one day.
It's a countdown,
left.
Man.
I know. It's like it's freaking me out because I know we got it. I don't want to be rude to this guy because I know he's here representing the, you know, he's cool, right? Can we just do one more?
From across the nation, around the world, and under a burqa, this is a special holiday edition of Al-Qaeda News with hosts Mohammed and Mahmoud.
Merry Christmas, infidels.
It will be your last.
I am Mohammed.
I am Mahmoud.
Tonight's top story. U.S. talk of troop withdrawal from Iraq.
No, you can't leave now. We have recruiting stations there now. We tried to set them up in New York City, but, oh my God, the rent.
$2,000 for a fourth-floor walk-up studio in Chelsea, and they call us the terrorists.
On a lighter note, it's Christmas shopping season, and we bought special gift for America. Death!
If it doesn't fit, you can always return it. Now, with a few Christmas shopping tips, is our consumer reporter, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, guys. Happy holidays.
Tina, did you like my Secret Santa gift?
But if I know it's from you, it's not a Secret Santa gift now.
Idiot, you can't keep secret. That's why we never tell you anything important.
You're the idiot.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you're the idiot. You think you're so bad.
We pause for commercial. Hey, kids, you want toy? Here is fun toy for you. Blow me up Elmo. Just tickle him and listen.
Die for jihad!
Order yours today. These won't last. Oh, no, and now back to Al Qaeda news.
You eat a half banana and leave it in the refrigerator. What kind of idiot does something like that?
I'm finished with half banana. I don't want to eat whole banana.
Hi, this is Tina. If you plan on sending a lot of packages through the mail this season, and I know you do, one way to avoid detection is by using old ribbons from other gifts to dress things up a little. Nothing says, I'm a perfectly innocent package, like a festive Christmas bow. And now, back to Mohammed and Mahmoud.
We're kicking you out of the cell! You don't... Oh, right. That was Al-Qaeda consumer reporter Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
And that is all for Al-Qaeda news. Remember, this Christmas, Santa knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
And so do we.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's 40 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here, Mark Riley.
Hey.
Morning Sedition, the last of the, almost the end of, tomorrow's the last one. And it is, today is the second of the last episode of Morning Sedition. As you probably know by now, folks, Mark Riley staying here in the mornings at Air America. He'll be on from 5 to 7 Eastern Time, followed by Rachel Maddow from 7 to 9, all as part of the new Air America Mornings. I wish you the best of luck with that, Mark.
Thank you.
We've got this one of the new executives here at Air America. They just keep turning up these guys. I don't want to be rude, though. He's Vice President of Talent Relations here at the station, Steve Gilmartin. Hey, Steve, how you doing, man?
Was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, was that all right, man? Did you like how I did it? I did it just like you told me, buddy.
Yeah, that was perfect, Mark.
I'm just kidding with you, man. Take it easy, okay? We're all friends here. So, what? I guess you. I know what you're here to do, but I don't. I've never been an executive myself, and I know there's a lot of guys walking around the office. I think I met you what 2 days ago.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where do you come from in, I mean, what is your executive experience? What does somebody do?
Well, I used to work at E, in development at the E Network.
At the Entertainment Network?
Yeah. I did a bunch of the, behind the musics and, or the,
yeah.
The, you know, all yeah, the yeah, true yeah. life stories.
Sure. So you've never done any radio before at all?
No. This is my first venture into radio.
Well, that's great, man. Yeah. That's just great. So, I met you last week. I do remember now. And, did you meet the affiliate people? Do you know, are you been doing work with the affiliates or what?
We met at the affiliate meeting.
Oh. Yeah. All right, sorry.
That's right.
Well, let's, you know what, I guess maybe my attitude's not great, but you know, let's just get to why you're here. You want to rev up Air America Mornings, right?
Well, yeah, but before that, let me just say, on behalf of the listeners and all the great guests you've had on the past,
yeah,
I just want to commend you, Mark, for the great job you've done.
Really?
Well, seriously. Yeah, yeah. You're definitely going to be missed.
Yeah.
As you know, you're going to leave such a big void here.
Uh-huh.
The main reason I came on is because of that. Mm-hmm. Because there doesn't have to be a void.
Right.
We really hope you're going to stay on as a contributor for the new show. Like, you know, like Our Man in the Mornings, live from the West Coast, that kind of thing.
Wow, okay. That's great, man, really. All right, that's great. Our Man in the Mornings, that's great.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
where
right
you
here.
Are now.
Yeah, sure, yeah. man. So you mean on the show that I'm being kicked off of?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. So let me get this straight. You want me to come on to do you're coming on my last show to tell me that you're going to offer me this opportunity to contribute to the show that I'm being fired from?
Hey man.
What?
You think this is cool?
What do you mean? I just don't know what the hell. I mean, what do I think it's cool? What kind of stooge do you think I am? I mean, what kind of crap is this, Brendan? Why the hell do you have to
Sedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com, Air America Radio.
Employee who's going to be remain unidentified here at Air America has provided Brendan McDonald with the tool necessary to take action. We go to Brendan McDonald in the bathroom here at Air America Radio. Brendan, what's going on in there? What are you doing?
What's up, man?
That's right, Mark and Mark. I was given a hacksaw by a very generous member of the Air America staff. We have enacted a political momentum here, guys,
yeah.
And it's going to play itself out. Right now, I am going to saw off the protective device that is preventing us from pulling more than two sheets at a time.
Good for you.
Toilet paper roll.
Good for you.
I'm going to do it right now on the air, okay? You guys, I'm going to put you on the speakerphone, and we are going to saw this puppy off.
Okay.
Let's take back the streets, man.
All right, here it goes.
All right.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, we hear it. That's great. That's just...
We made one cut. All right, we're already... I'm halfway through. I have to make one more incision. Oh, my God, we're going. And victory.
Victory.
For the last, I can wipe my ass.
Free
to the last.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
All right, it's 49 pass. We're going to land this thing. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition. Hey, buddy. Sorry about that little thing. I got a day and a half with this.
Sorry, man.
No, I know, but I'm trying to be a good sport about this crap, and you know, I barely even know that guy.
That's all right, man. You got the cliff notes there?
I'm sorry.
Why don't
Riley.
We do
all
that?
Right, I'm sorry, buddy.
We're sorry, man.
All right, man. All right. For those of you who aren't. All right. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. The Transportation Security Administration says that federal air marshals are going to be placed on trains, buses, and other mass transit in a 3-day test program starting Wednesday. Air marshals recently shot a mentally ill man at a Miami airport. Experts warn that if they start shooting crazy people on buses, they're going to run out of bullets. All right, that's nice charity laugh. Columnist Robert Novak, who first exposed Valerie Plame, says he's confident that President Bush knows who the source of the leak is. Novak said not only is Bush fully aware of who leaked the information about Plame's CIA status, he said he could still stump Bush by asking him what CIA stands for. I'm barely connecting. It's weird because I'm reading it. I'm barely... All right. Doesn't matter. One day, dude. NBC cut a segment from an Elton John special broadcast this week that featured a scantily clad Pamela Anderson doing a pole dance. NBC felt the content was inappropriate for the 8 p.m. time slot and that children might be confused by the bold mixture of super gay and super straight. Anderson had an even more suggestive dance plan for Elton John's song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Go down on me. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, it's weird because like I've just been fighting this.
Do you have a phrase of the day?
Yes. It's funny, you know. It's weird because I've almost got nothing to lose, right? You know, you realize that, right?
Phrase
of the day. Just drop it in the conversation. It's election day in Iraq. I hope employers give their employees time off. That is for the 40% of Iraqis who have jobs. Wake up, sheeple! Our policies in Iraq aren't spreading freedom; they're just spreading free time. I didn't even know what I just said. All right, look, let me just do a couple thank yous because that is important. We've got a lot of great emails here. It's funny, there's a few, literally, out of the thousands of emails we've gotten about the end of the show, we've gotten maybe four hate emails. And it's interesting that they're all saying, we've only got 2 more days. We've only got 2 more days to hate him. Here's a Tracy from Hawaii, who has the bakery in Hawaii, sent me a beautiful bouquet. Thank you, Tracy, from ogoodies.com. Go to there if you want to see Hawaiian baked goods. Also from someone sent us these like silk screened cookies, very nice, of Lori, who's been listening for a long time. She replaced the Morning Sedition, and she made it like Morning Sedition with a U, you know.
Oh, wow.
Those cookies were pretty great, man.
I thought I liked the way they look, and I had a couple. They're like those classic Christmas sort of holiday sugar butter.
But like the silk screen sugar part kind of stays together as one piece, and you have to chew it carefully because I almost choked on one of the cookies.
Show's over, dude. You have to, you know.
But wait, I got one more Pashman's rules.
Was this the one where you got to eat the icing side down first?
That's a rule for most dessert foods.
Oh, boy. All right. So also, I want to thank Kristen for the beautiful painting of the door of the old studio.
I thought that was nice.
And, you know, I don't know, Riley. You know, we got one more day left. I think that tomorrow, I guess, we're going to reflect. Is that what we're going to do? We're going to reflect.
We have no guests, so yeah.
We have no guests that you both know of yet.
I'm going
to
be...
I just will put that out there to our listeners.
Oh, I said it's a surprise party. I said it's a surprise party. That's what I feel. I don't like. I'm going on a Majority Report tonight. Sam Cedar asked me to come on, and I don't know what he's got planned. But I was trying to get on early so I could get some rest. You know, I've got packing to do. I've got to mail stuff, but he's got me on at 8:20, so I'm looking forward to that. I wonder what he's got in mind. You know what I'm saying? What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? What do you think he's thinking? I sort of half expect every day to be a party. You know what I mean, Ryan? That's always the interesting thing is that you walk out of this place, you walk out after doing the morning show, and we've just put 3 hours of this juice, this manic energy into this
actually
show.
More than that.
Right. And then you walk out into the cubicle land, and you're expecting a celebration, but no, you got idiots like that Gil Martin guy who was just in here, all right? You know, just wandering around out there acting like they got a damn job. I mean, what the hell was that about, Brendan? I mean, look, it's just... Yeah, I've got one more day, man. I've got one more day on this job, and I'm ready to lose it, man. I'm just like, you know, I've held it together for 2 months here, McDonald. Do you understand? 2 months, I've been a good sport, and that little weasel, that little corporate ass kisser, comes. I don't even know that guy, McDonald. I don't even know who. Do you even know that guy? What a disingenuous ass! I just can't believe he would come in here and talk to me like that. I mean, I think I've been a good sport here, man. And I'm starting to come a little unglued. I tried to keep it together, man. Oh, great. So what? What are you letting him back in the studio for? You know what I mean? It's like, you didn't learn your lesson the first time, buddy?
This is how you want to end it, man?
Look, you're just a corporate scum, man. You know, I'm just tired of you guys running my life. I didn't get into comedy to deal with idiots like you.
Hey, look,
what?
You want to push me. Don't be so shocked when I push back.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Go ahead, shut me down. Dude, what are you going to do, man?
Fine.
You want to fight?
Fine.
What are you going to do?
You want it like this? Fine. You want it like this?
What are you...